The first travel ban came out in January and created a lot of confusion at airports. Travelers with green cards and visas got swept up in the chaos. The incident prompted KUOW listener Pam Jensen to send this question to Local Wonder.
What was the cost to people who were caught up in the turmoil of the first travel ban while they were en route to Seattle?
We asked Ruby DeLuna from KUOW's immigration team to look into the question.
Most travelers who were caught up in the confusion had to eat the costs of rebooking flights, but several airlines were sympathetic. Some offered refunds, others waived the rebooking fees. But if you're a refugee, the cost of the travel ban comes in many forms.
اسمي هبة الحمداني.
My name is Hiba Alhamadani.
Hiba Alhamadani is 32 years old. She told her story through an interpreter. About 3 years ago, Alhamadani fled her home in Iraq to Turkey.
Life is impossible in Iraq right now. As a divorced single mom with two kids, it's tough to live there. No job opportunities and no peace for the kids. I don't feel safe for them to leave the house.
Alhamadani and her sons applied for refugee status to the U.S. It was granted 2 years later. Her flight was scheduled for February 9th.
I was ready to travel, so I sold everything, the furniture, the apartment. I canceled the lease.
She was going to stay with a friend until their flight. But just days before, she got a phone call.
They said there is no travel for 4 months, and then it's up to you if you want to go back or if you want to move your case to another country.
Alhamadani says she was shocked and upset. The travel ban put her and her sons in limbo for another 3 years. Going back to Iraq was not an option.
The most stressful thing was it's about my kids, because when I moved from Iraq to Turkey, they were still young kids.
But now her oldest son is almost 16 years old. The younger one will be 11. They haven't been to school since they fled Iraq. For Alhamadani, the travel ban has a different kind of cost. It thwarted their hopes for an education.
And with no education, no school, what will happen? What future?
Alhamadani wasn't the only one in limbo.
This is a list of what we call assured cases.
Greg Hope is director of the Refugee Resettlement Program of the Episcopal Diocese of Olympia. The list contains the names of people who've been approved for refugee status. Hope says there were about five other refugees like Alhamadani whose flights were delayed because of the first travel ban.
But as soon as the court order came from Seattle, they pretty much got on a plane and came.
The first travel ban has been replaced with a second one. That, too, is going through the legal process. There are 99 refugees on Hope's list waiting to be resettled while there's still a window. Normally, their arrival would be spaced out, but it's been hectic, says Hope. For refugees, the alternative is a life with no prospects.
I mean, they're in a camp or they're in a situation where there's just not a lot for them. And they're not a part of those societies. And they can't go back to their homeland.
Alhamadani and her sons finally made it to Seattle 2 months ago. They live in Kent. The kids are now going to school.
I cannot forget my feeling when I took my kids to school the first day here. My dream came true.
A new life in America comes with new realities. Refugees like Alhamadani are responsible for their airfare coming here, but often they don't have the means to pay for it up front, so they're given an interest-free loan. Before the trip, they sign a promissory note that says within 3 months after their arrival, they'll start paying it off. I'm Ruby DeLuna, KUOW News.
This story was inspired by a question from listener Pam Jensen in Seattle. You can hear more stories from our Local Wonder series at our website, KUOW.org. And while you're there, leave us your local wonder about the Puget Sound region. If your question is selected, a KUOW reporter will investigate it.